Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Episode number 34.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, hosted by Mark Gray. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Pete. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Excited for this one. Excited, baby. Got Justin Bigelow, the two-time champ. How you doing, Justin?
Fantabulous.
Fantabulous. He's doing deals right now. He's texting out deals right now as we speak. And myself, Pete Peterson. Folks, we don't always talk real estate, but in today's case, we do. We're going to dive into real estate. I'm excited for this one. We love to share success stories from other entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and influencers. Hopefully, these interviews and stories will help to motivate and inspire you to dream huge. And today, we have my good friend, William Barber, owner, founder of Blue Door Development Group. How you doing, Will?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for making the time. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Blue Door Development Group.
So I am a real estate developer by name. We buy, build, a little bit of everything involving real estate. Flips, keep, buy and hold, just a little bit of everything. Moved here about 4 years ago from Alaska, and just have enjoyed everything since.
I'm glad you mentioned that Alaska piece there, because you're affectionately known around these parts as the Alaska Boys, as we were talking. Is that right?
That's right.
Yep. Okay, so a few years back, these Alaska Boys, for those listeners out there, kind of came into town, and I think they saw a few opportunities here in the local real estate market. And they jumped quick and hard.
Yep.
And they purchased a lot of properties, and they improved those properties, and they've also began, you know, building as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what your current projects are? What does your current portfolio look like?
So currently, like you mentioned there, when we first moved here, the opportunities for existing real estate was really, really awesome for us. We bought several existing. I think we got up to 130 units total within about a year's time.
Wow.
Now we have continued to look for good existing properties, but we've started in the developing new construction. So that's kind of the focus now, is the new construction right at this time.
Thank you, Will, for building and investing here in our community and improving everything. You know, every time you go in and you build something new, especially the ones you're building in the lower income neighborhoods, you know, that's improving all of the home value surrounding those new builds. And it's just something that is just tremendous. It's just a great thing to see. Tell us about, like, where were the first ones that you built?
The first one that I built was on 3rd and Roland. Roland was one of the rougher streets that I'd heard when I first came to Mansfield. And I believe in Mansfield, not to sound cliche, but I really do. I see the opportunity and the growth, especially where it's placed between Cleveland and Columbus. And we chose Roland. We were able to buy two lots from the land bank and spent about a year working through site plans, getting things perfect for the first one. We started on 3rd and Roland, then we built two more one-bedroom units on South Franklin. So 3rd Street was really the focus to start, and it just ended up being the one right on 3rd and Roland.
So 3rd and Roland, okay, and you mentioned the land bank. For listeners out there who may not know, how much did those lots cost you from the land bank?
So the one on 3rd and Roland cost me $350.
Yes.
The ones on Franklin were $500.
Excellent.
So
yeah. We're giving away all your secrets
right
now.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
there's 500 or something lots available through Richland County Land Bank. So
wow.
I mean, I work with them directly. There's more opportunity than I could ever hope to build on, I believe.
Right. And those particular ones have city water, city sewer.
Yes, yep.
And then how many other lots do you have similar to that that you're also looking to build on here in the future?
So right now we have there's about 20 lots, I would say, total. We have 12 projects on those 20 lots right now. So we only have 8 that are open to build in the future.
Gotcha. And you're building, are you building two duplexes per lot, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so we either build a duplex or a triplex. The duplexes are single story, so they fit a 60-foot lot, which is the city lots are all 60 feet. The triplexes also fit a 60-foot lot, and they're 48 feet wide. So either one, you can put either a duplex or a triplex on any of the lots.
And are you selling these, or are you keeping them and renting them out, or what's your game plan for that?
Yeah, so the first batch I'm selling to different investors for cash flow reasons, and then within a couple of years of building and selling, we'll be building to own and keep ourselves.
Excellent, you guys, and these are tremendous units. Everything that Will does is top of the line, you know, new finishes, you know, all high-end stuff, and the exterior even, you were showing me, has the poly board or whatever
smart
that's called.
Smart lap, yep, smart lap siding.
Smart lap siding.
What's that?
It's wood, but it's got termite resistance. It's got all kinds of, I can give you the brochure on it. It's good
stuff. Almost like a composite, kind of like a Trex deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but is it actually like a, you know, organic wood?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's more weather resistant and everything.
What was that called again?
It's called LP Smart Side. You can get it in either lap siding or sheets. We use the sheets.
And then you can paint that, right?
Yes. Yep. It comes pre-primed, and then kind of the look everybody seems to be going for is the board and batten style. So this kind of lends itself right to that. It's wood grain textured on the outside, so. Yeah. You just put your strips over it, paint it, and you got a modern-looking build.
No, it looks really good. Yeah, it's going to be a lot less maintenance in the long run. It's going to be very durable, and it looks modern.
Board and batten, I can't picture it. Maybe I have it wrong. What's that look like?
Well, that's because nobody has built anything new in this town for, like, many years, so this is going to be look new to us.
Well, I think I have an idea. Like, I've seen, like, you know, old cedar siding.
Yeah,
it's got the lines and stuff, and then I've seen that as like vinyl.
Yeah, so it's a horizontal. No, it'd be vertical. Sorry, it's vertical, just like that there. So what you usually do, you can put it every 12 inches, 8 inches, whatever. There's all kinds of preferences. So my personal house that I just built, my wife wanted board and batten, so that's kind of where the idea took off from.
Okay, so tell us about that. That's your next huge project.
Which, my house.
Not only your house, but what surrounds your house.
Yeah, so we were able to buy it's developed all the curb and gutters in, road, water, sewer. It's a 50-lot development right off South Main Street, and we'll start building homes in there pretty much right away. I had to get mine finished first.
Yes. So.
I got two words, dream huge.
Yeah, that's right. When I tell people, when I ask people if they know Will Barber, and they may say yes or no, I said, this guy's going to own all of Mansfield someday. So, at
young
this rate,
Stymans.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Just absolutely killing it. So, you're going to build single families over there. Are you going to be doing duplexes over there as well? And as your plan to build and sell, or build and lease, or what are your plans for that development?
Yeah, so that development will be, it's zoned R1 right now. So right now the plan, if nothing changes, is to build and sell. Mm-hmm. I would like to change the zoning to do R2, even if it were to be condos that could be sold, mm-hmm. you know, zero lot line sell, or, I mean, we're all in the rental business, so I like the idea of having some brand new, nice duplexes over there as well.
Right.
Yeah, and that's Madison Schools, correct?
Madison Schools,
and that butts up to Tower Lakes is behind there. Yeah, just to put a little perspective out there for you.
Yep.
Very good.
Now, I have a question. You said you build 2 and 3 units.
Yes.
I've heard from a builder, and I think it has to do with financing and risk and stuff, like you don't build 4 units for a reason?
Yeah, so 4 units puts you into commercial building code.
Right.
So 3 units keep you under residential building code.
Okay.
In the city of Mansfield, it's much easier as far as site plans. I draw my own site plans, floor plans, where if you go commercial, you've got to go stamped approval. I mean, you still got to get the regular approval, but there's a lot more red tape in building commercial.
Yeah. So for the code, it's 3 is residential.
Yep.
But, you know, people that are listening, if they're buying stuff, you know, you can get a loan for up to a 4 unit, and that's residential.
Right.
So it's a little confusing, but when you're building, there's a reason why you don't build the 4.
Yes.
I was curious, wonder why that is.
It's the code versus the loan program.
The building code.
Yeah. So it's cool that the loan program allows you to buy a 4-unit
right.
with, you know, as little, maybe 0% down.
But the building code at one time must have been 4 was considered.
Probably.
The, yeah. And they right. knocked it down to 3.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. why else would we have all these 4 units?
Right.
It seems like.
Now, is that just Mansfield or is that going out farther?
My understanding, that's Richland County as well. So mm-hmm. we've only built one build in Richland County. That wasn't in Mansfield City. Even the ones in Brushwood, they're going to be Mansfield City. So, but even in Richland County, it's still R3 units is considered residential, R3.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. All right. So tell us a little bit more of your backstory, Mr. Alaska Boy.
Okay.
Okay. Where did you come from? How did you get into the business? Take us all the way back.
All right. So I was actually born in El Paso, Texas. My parents.
Oh, so you're a Texas boy.
I'm a Texas guy.
You're from Texas to Alaska to Ohio. Yeah.
All over the place. Yeah. So my parents trained racehorses growing up. So from the time I was, you know, crawling around to walking around at 5, they trained racehorses. So that being said, we moved. I was born in Texas. We lived in New Mexico. We lived in Arkansas. We kind of settled in Hot Springs, Arkansas at the Oaklawn racetrack. So after that, shortly my dad and mom decided to get out of the horse business pretty much. It's 24/7. You never get any rest. And then my dad was actually a pastor of a church, and then he painted houses. So my background started in horses and kind of continued that till, I don't know, we got rid of all of our horses right around 10 or 12. And then the Alaska, so I'm an adventure seeker. So I when I moved to Alaska, it was 2008, I had told myself I was only going up there for the summer. I didn't want to go up there in the cold, but I got an awesome job. I was working on a commercial job site, making 40 plus an hour at 18. I mean, that's really good money, right?
Absolutely.
And then I just kind of grew on me and I decided to stick around.
What were you doing at the commercial job site?
So on that particular one, it was an army barracks. So the company I worked for had a contract to replace all the furniture. So I pretty much was just moving furniture around, up and down stairs, all around. But then from there, it kind of took off. They liked me enough to invite me to the next job, and it kind of picked up from there. Nice. But I better add that the main reason why I went to Alaska in the first place was my wife. My wife now, she had moved there. Her dad is also a pastor of a church in Fairbanks, Alaska. So I thought I'd, you know, it'd be a win-win. Go up there for work, the girl I like.
Yeah.
So that's where the Alaska part came from.
Good. Okay. I understand. All right. So you're in Alaska. You're going job to job. You're getting better job to better job. You're getting promotions. You're making more and more money. Where do we go from here?
Yeah. So I wanted to own my own construction company. I started really young with the commercial company that I worked for, and they were just big enough that they left out the smaller jobs, right? And there was kind of a niche there. So I filed for a contractor's license, went through all the hoopla to get that handled, and then started bidding jobs from them. At one point, we had a contract with Sam's Club for Alaska and Hawaii both. Did a little bit of traveling back and forth there. But to kind of add to why I wanted to do construction was because of the money, but I've always wanted to do real estate. I can't remember what exact age it was when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but when I did, I thought, man, I want to do real estate. It was just, I didn't know how it was going to happen. You know, Alaska's really expensive. I mean, in Anchorage area, you're going to buy a lot for $100,000 or more, and the building cost is 20 to 30% more than it is anywhere else.
Wow.
Everything's shipped. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
So I didn't really see much of a opportunity for a shorter turnaround on investment there. So I started looking kind of elsewhere, mm-hmm. really, and that's where Ohio opened up for me.
Okay, so tell us how you landed on Ohio.
Yeah, so my brother, I have some family that live in the Cincinnati area. My brother's a painting contractor as well. He did, they called it The Rush. It was for Uptown Properties in Cincinnati, and they turned over student housing. Well, I got to meet the owner of Uptown. I think at that point they were right around 5,000 units. I think they're now, they're over 10,000 units. I mean, they're massive, right? Goodness. There in the middle of Cincinnati. So I got to do the finish trim on his daughter's house. So every time he'd come over, I'd get close to him and ask him, you know, some tricks. And he just pretty much told me that don't come to Cincinnati. It's too busy. And pretty much he's there. It was, you know, not that he was, you know, worried nothing, but he,
my yard.
Exactly. He just told me to look for something similar. And he didn't say Ohio in general. He said look in the smaller cities that have room for growth. How I landed in Mansfield was simply my stepdad also does real estate. And he called me. I'll never forget. I was in Alaska. I was on a big commercial job. And he called me all excited. And he's like, I bought a house, you know, a rental house. I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. You know, he's like, I paid cash. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm thinking in Alaska, I mean, you got to have $400,000 or $500,000 to be buying something cash.
Wow.
Well, he calls me a couple weeks later and excited again. And he says, I bought another house. I'm like, cool. Like, he's like, yeah, cash. I'm like, man, this is kind of wild. Like, he's killing it. Then the third time he called me, and I said, if you tell me you bought another house with cash, and sure enough, he did. And I said, where are you? I'm getting on a plane like at some point soon.
Did you get the lottery?
Yeah, and it was Mansfield, Ohio, and that would have been 2013, 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. And when I came here then, man, it didn't look quite like it does now. It was a little rougher area. I mean, I don't think the land bank had really taken off. So a lot of the blighted houses that's the land bank's purpose to remove were still here. So I was kind of like, oh, this is why you got it for that price. But I still kept my eye on it. And then, man, I noticed it just kept changing. I watched it every couple of months. I'd get on Zillow or anything I could just to see what was popping there. And we found a 9-unit that needed completely renovated. Couldn't get a contractor to do it, so I convinced my business partner to pack up all the guys and come down here and renovate ourselves.
Nice.
And
so which 9-unit was that?
That was on Baldwin Avenue, right behind the old YMCA on Park.
Gotcha.
At Park Avenue, the YMCA was still there when we bought it. Actually, we had owned it for a year or so before they tore it down. So.
You owned the Y?
No, we owned the property behind it.
Oh, okay.
And that's where you built as well, correct?
Yes. Yep. 38 Baldwin was the start.
Gotcha. All right. All right, guys, listeners. So a lot of times the opportunities are right in front of your face, you know, and, you know, Will, it sounds like your opportunities were found amongst, you know, your family. Yeah. Your girlfriend at the time and now wife took you to Alaska, and then your family made you connections, and you're really only one relationship away from a life-changing event.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times, yeah, you just listen to your friends and family, your support group, and keep your eyes open and just be willing to work hard. But yeah, you found those opportunities and you jumped on them, and here you are in proven Mansfield, Ohio, and we are very thankful for that, man.
Absolutely.
Pete, what was that phrase you mentioned one time to be like radically?
Be radically open-minded.
Right. I was just thinking that. I thought that's what you said, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
That's what allows you to see the opportunity.
Right.
Is the open-mindedness. Because if you're closed off, it's closed, it's dark, nothing's getting in.
Right.
But you got to open up all the doors, open the windows, and you can see everything that's out there.
Sure.
And you can decide which ones you want to tackle. If you don't have your mind opened radically, they're going to fly right by you.
So that's the problem with a lot of the local investors, a lot of local people, not just to Mansfield, but local natives to any town.
Right.
They don't see the opportunities that an out-of-towner may see. They look at things differently.
The world is, you know, their set bias in their mind is different.
Yeah. Yep. I'm used to driving by this property every day, never thought twice about it. And right. Will drives by it once and sees it as a great opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, that dude spent that money. Why'd he buy that?
Yeah.
He's a little, that's dumb.
Oh, no. That's,
next thing you know, the dude.
That's happened plenty.
Making
trust
a killing.
Me.
Right. Yeah. So one of the best things Will always tells me about people who complain to him about living in this area, they say, we don't like it here for whatever reason. What do you tell those people?
Well, I listen to all their complaints and ask them if they have anything for sale.
There you go.
You know, I mean, that's usually the most motivated sellers who's complaining about what they have, you know.
Right. It's like, oh, it's so bad here. It's terrible. Oh, really? Says Will. Or do you have any real estate looking to sell?
That's right.
I'd be glad to help you out.
Yeah. And you mentioned that it's almost complacency. I got even since I've been here, my business partner from Alaska still, he came down to visit me and we're looking around and I'm so used to now what I'm seeing in Mansfield, which is a good reminder for me to keep my mind open, keep the radically open mind, because I've looked at deals where he's like, hey, that's a good deal. And I'm like, no, not really. You know, I was that way 3 years ago. So it's always gradual. It doesn't just, you know, you got to stay open-minded too.
Right.
So
yeah, that's telling me a lot. You do get, you know, stuck in the, you know, you get the blinders on.
Yeah.
And you kind of see tunnel vision a little bit. But then you got to remind yourself, wait, I'm seeing tunnel vision. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's where the self-awareness. You're radically open-minded and be radically self-aware so you can stop yourself.
Yeah.
Because you might not always have a good friend that sees it.
Sees it. Yeah. You mentioned blinders. I tell every investor that I bring here from Utah, California, Texas, I tell them to put blinders on because there's so much opportunity here that they're not used to seeing. I mean, I tell them, put blinders on, you're going to get really confused really quick, and you won't know which route you want to go down.
And that's over-analysis. That really starts messing with your head, and you can't ever move.
Mm-hmm. You can't decide. Can't decide what to do. Do I build? Do I buy? You get a little...
It's almost like I used to have this feeling a couple times where it's like pure happiness. Your mind just doesn't know where to go because you're so full of opportunity.
Yeah.
And so you do have to have some blinders in a good way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because or else you just get overwhelmed with so much positivity, which is great. But at the same time, you know, you got to narrow that down.
Focus in on that opportunity.
Yeah. Balance.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned your family, and we all need that great support system. So tell us a little bit more about your family, Will.
Yeah. So I'm my wife, her name is Danielle. I've got two boys, Kale and Jonah. Kale's 5, Jonah's 2. They are my motivation now, where I didn't realize what it was before. They are for sure the reason why I get up and push hard and work hard, you know. And then my mom, honestly, she's been probably the biggest supporter, but the most honest supporter.
That's good.
She tells me what I need to, you know. Right. She does with love, but it's, you know, it's that the good.
What's
kind
your
of
middle
love.
Name?
Aaron.
William.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Oh yeah. I've heard William Aaron.
What are you doing?
Yes. Yeah. So, and now a good majority of my family's moved here now, and they're kind of taking part in helping out with the business too. So.
Yeah,
we've made it home for a good portion of my family.
That's what's really great about this story, you know, because I hear that a lot too. Oh, these out of state guys are buying up everything. Well, Will is no longer an out of stater.
Nope.
He's making a home right here in Mansfield.
None of those guys live here except for Will.
Yeah,
it's the only one that I know of.
Blake moved here.
There's one.
Yeah,
Oregon guy.
Yep.
We'll get him on again.
My good
sometime.
Buddy Blake Hunt. Shout out if you're listening. Yeah, he keeps threatening he's going to come on someday. We'll get him on. But yeah, no, I think you see more of that, especially as you fall in love with the community. You invest more and more, and that doesn't need to say you can still invest anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's pretty cool. You made this your home base.
Yep.
All right. How do you hope to inspire others with your story?
Man, just whatever your vision is, just stick with it. I mean, that's pretty much what I've done. I don't really have no inspirational, you know, pep talk or nothing like that. It just really, I know when I first decided to move here, after my wife and I agreed, you know, together that it was the right move for us, several friends, family members, and I know they care about me, and I know they were coming from a place of honesty, but they told me I was crazy. Like, why are you leaving? You just got started here. You know, you just got your bigger contracts. We had built a very reputable construction company in Alaska. I mean, to kind of just drop it because that's pretty much what happened. We just, you know, got on the U-Haul and moved down. So whatever that vision is that you have for you personally, just stick with it, man. Don't, you know, take good advice, but not all advice is good, even if it's coming from a good place. So it's personal.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice right there. Okay, so what's an interesting fact or story that most folks may not know about William Barber?
Oh, man, there's several that came to mind.
Good, man.
So the only one that I could, the one that came first to mind, I love sports, love sports, basketball, football, baseball, really big fan of the UFC now. The most interesting story that I could tell you is when I was 12, I think I told you a little bit about this at one point, Pete. I had a pretty bad accident. I put my arm through a glass window, cut all the nerves and arteries and the muscle in my right arm, bled to death twice on the hospital
table. Let me see the scars.
It goes all the way back.
Oh.
Yeah. Right down the bicep, looks like into the armpit.
Yeah, oh, right under the armpit. Looks like you tried to chop your arm off.
I tried, yeah. And that kind of took me out of sports. So in one way, you know, I didn't have any more desire for sports in school. I couldn't play. And by the time I got done with therapy 2 years later, my mom was like, I don't really know if I want you, you know, busting that arm open. Just kind of normal parent fear.
Yeah.
That was a pretty interesting story. It definitely changed my life quite a bit because sports was everything to me at that point. And when something that is everything to you is kind of taken away to some degree, or, you know, you realize it's not, it kind of opens up other opportunities. So that was interesting that it changed my trajectory in that sense. Oh, yeah.
And that happens at 12 years old. So what, I mean, I know you're not like reading real estate books at 12 years old, or maybe you were. What did you refocus on?
Well, so my dad, I'll never forget, we had I mowed yards. I've always been entrepreneurial minded, even before I knew what the word was. I didn't know what it meant, but I mowed yards and always trying to make money and then invest in something to make more money, right? And that's kind of what I started doing. I wanted to make money. I wanted, you know, different. I wanted a truck paid off. I wanted, you know, a four-wheeler paid off, just to have fun. And then I realized, man, if I work hard, I'm making money, I'm buying new stuff. And at that point, everyone else that was my friends and my age, they were into sports. Mm-hmm. So we kind of didn't really, I mean, while they're getting ready for, I'm like, hey, your grandma went her yard mode? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you're busy shooting free throws, yeah, and you're exactly, out hustling exactly. yards. Exactly.
So just kind of that, like I said, that shifted the mindset quite a bit.
Did change your whole life.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it did, absolutely.
So if you were going to sports, did you ever project yourself to go pro?
Man, I mean,
that's the thing. You could have been a pro basketball player too.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and brag, but I think I was pretty good. You know, yeah. I mean, you never know at that age. I know it's interesting though. You say that because when I moved to Alaska, I think I was 17, I believe. But I'd already graduated, and one of the friends that I met up there were playing. That he was playing football, and he was telling me, man, and this is not to knock on any of my Alaska friends or nothing like that, but you're only as good as your competition, right? And I think that's in every aspect, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember going to their scrimmage, and I was like, you guys were the number three team in the state?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm used to? Right. I'm used to, you know, 6 and 7A schools where I remember in eighth grade, there was, I think, 300 people that tried out for the basketball team in Hot Springs.
Oh my
gosh. It's massive. I mean, Arkansas, Texas, where sports are everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I would have, that was definitely the plan and the dream. Time would have only told if I'd have made it or not. But
right.
I liked all sports, too. Baseball, as much as I don't like watching baseball, to be honest, I love playing baseball.
Yeah, I can see you as a baseball player.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball is probably my favorite to play, honestly. Yeah.
Multi-sport athlete.
I like
right
baseball because it's active, but then it's chill.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of boring to watch sometimes, right. But once you know what's really going on, it's so much fun. That's why playoff baseball is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, absolutely. Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you, Will. Okay, buddy. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we hit you with the huge four, and then we got the rapid fire round, and we'll let you get out of here, man. I know you're a busy man. I told you we'd keep you under an hour. So, is there anything else you'd like to touch on business wise? Anything you want to talk about?
No, nothing in particular. Like I said, if there was anything I could give that would be encouraging, would just be figure out your reason why you work hard. I mean, I know for me, I'm easily motivated myself, but when I realize, and it doesn't have to be kids or it can be whatever it is for you, your why, once you realize that, man, it takes you to the next level because your focus is different because it's not just for you, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how I'd say find out whatever your why is and whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he's a dangerous man because he is basically a born entrepreneur. And then you add a Y on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a recipe for success. Okay, so are you ready for the, ooh, yeah, let's hit you with the huge four, baby. Hit him with the huge four, Mark.
All right, what's one thing you wish you have known when you began your career?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. I thought I'd be prepared for all these, too, just so you know. One thing I wish I would have known was just to practice patience. You know, you don't have to, even though you're motivated and want to get out there and get after it, you don't, it's just patience is definitely a virtue you need. For
methodical.
Sure. Methodical, yeah. Absolutely.
It's easy to get stressed out, isn't it?
Yes.
In a rush.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely guilty of that.
Yeah. I think we all are.
Yeah. What was your biggest failure? What did you learn from it?
Biggest failure. Well, honestly, it goes back to number one. Biggest failure was rushing too fast into a couple of my first projects in such a hurry to get them funded, get them going. I just missed key pieces to the puzzle. And if I would have been able to fix that, it would have been much better, and I'd probably be twice as far along now. But now that I've learned the lesson, at the same time, I'm thankful for that lesson as well.
Like, what specifically was missed?
Well, the missed part of it was controlling expectations. So the 9-unit that I told you guys that I was coming here to renovate, I remember walking through it. It was a vacant building. I mean, it was condemned. So when I walked through it, wow. I'm a contractor. I'm motivated. This is a first rental property. I told myself I'd be X amount of dollars and I'd be done in this amount of time. And I didn't practice any patience whatsoever. So I brought the whole thing down, and a month in, I'm like, man, we're halfway. Like, I'm off. Like, and that cost me time. It cost me money. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing it cost me was my investment partner. I had committed what I told him I committed to, why I wasn't going to meet that deadline. And that's what's important too about who you work with, because I'll never forget the phone call that I had to make was like, we're not going to be done. You know what I mean? We're over budget. We're not going to be done. And we're not really that close. He's like, I knew that. He goes, but you needed to learn this lesson. So I'm wow. like, man, okay. Like, so I learned a lot from it. So if I'd have been a little more patient when I walked through, if I'd have been a little more, but it's excitement. Like you said sure. earlier, it's that passion. Like I was ready to get it, ready to go. And
well, if you don't take action, at least have that first mistake. You never learn.
Right.
You never even did a single reno at all.
That's right. Yep.
So, yeah, every failure is a learning experience.
And I'm sure your partner, like he said, he knew that. He kind of probably expected it.
He did. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what shocked me too. And it's what made me realize how important relationships are, because I can think of a lot of investors that I've met now that would have had a completely different outlook on that. They'd have probably, and rightfully so. I'm not saying they would have been wrong in that, mm-hmm. but he right. was willing to let me make mistakes
yep.
and let me learn from them. And, that was a massive learning block.
It's a great investor. You can go ahead and give us his info.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Has this guy been doing this for a long time? So he knew it was coming, or
no? He's a dentist by trade. So, okay. But he's done real estate his whole life. And I think he just knew. I think he just knew that I was going to probably get a little bit too excited and just rush into it, which is kind of the reason. And he told me later that was why he wanted me as a partner. That's why. He's like, that's why you just got to learn the, the basics, be patient and make sure you don't overestimate. And so
was this your first deal with him?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was out of state. He'd never done anything out of state it was a wild card once in a lifetime type of situation, but it taught me the importance of that. Like I said, that relationship. Because now, our relationship is
even
solid.
Stronger.
Oh, it's
and
solid.
So you're still doing business
absolutely.
With him today.
Yep, absolutely.
Good. Good.
Yep. And that's what he saw.
Yeah.
He saw the future. He just got, he had to start.
Yes.
Man.
He was willing to take a little sacrifice on a new guy.
Absolutely. He told me his only fear, and I didn't understand this at the time, but he told me the fear I have is you'll get too big and realize you don't need me.
Oh, wow.
Well, at that point, I'm like, dude, I just went over budget and over time. You're telling me that? So
he knew the setup,
but
the potential.
But he knew what was there,
yeah.
Not just within me, but just in the opportunity that we had uncovered. And
yeah.
So, and now that, like I told him, that's you're with me, man, till you don't want to be. You yeah. know what I mean? I'll never be the one to, it's always him. So.
So even with the rising prices in this here market, you still see tremendous opportunity, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. We don't have you're not going to get $20,000 a door anymore.
No.
Not around here. Now it's 40 a door.
Yeah.
But even at that, you still see opportunity, correct?
Yeah, there's still so much value add. We have a property and contract now. It's actually 90 units. And even with the prices the way they are, the value add is so you can't get anywhere. There's nowhere else you can get it
wow.
that I've seen.
And so for the listeners, the value add, that's where you go in there and make it better
yes.
yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. Raise the rents,
yes.
fix up. Not only raise the rents, that's the key.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not just raising the rents. We're raising the rents, but we're using that money to reinvest in the property
absolutely.
And elevate the whole value of the property.
It's justified.
We're forcing the appreciation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that term, forced appreciation.
Yeah.
Because Mansfield, the investors that I work with out of Utah and particularly Utah, they've mentioned inflation being so high, and I think we have it better here because it's forced inflation. I mean, I think things are so undervalued, right, and there's not really many people willing to put in the work to make it the value it should be. And our rents in this area, they're pretty competitive with just about anywhere. I mean, yep, they really are. So,
number three.
All right. What are the best resources that helped you along the way?
Relationships, completely. If you got good ones, then you don't need much of anything else, because that's where everything else comes from.
Who, not how.
That. Yeah, who, not how. It's not who you know. What you know, it's who you know.
That's right.
And that's a book.
We hear that one a lot in this room right here. Relationships.
That's where my mind is going. It's always kind of been there, but now it's really like.
Didn't you tell me relationships are the currency of the rich?
Yes.
Something like that? Yeah. It is.
Yes, it is.
It's the relationships is what matters.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. What are two books that have inspired you?
Man, the two, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the first one. And the step up from that would have been Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When did you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? That's always like the origin.
Yeah, that was the origin. It was after I had had that accident. So it had been 13 or 14. Somewhere in there.
You were 13 or 14?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's young.
Yep.
I didn't even know about it until 3 years ago.
Yeah. Someone gave it to me. And they're like, hey, read this book. You'll like it.
Told Justin to read it for like 2 years before he actually did.
It was on his to-do list.
Yes.
Yeah, he got around to it.
I got lots to do.
That's right. That.
Kept telling him, I'm like, man, you got to read this. You got to read this.
It's a mindset shift is what it was for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Think and Grow Rich might have been the next book too.
Yeah. Yep.
And then it was the Babylon book.
Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
Those three. I kind of read those right in a row.
Oh, yeah. Man, you were fired up.
Yeah. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Text me in all caps like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You need to cherish your visions and your dreams as the children and nurture them as the children of your soul. I think that's a quote. I butchered it a little bit.
That's the original Dream Huge quote.
Yeah. It's right on the website. Cherish your visions and your dreams and nurture them as if they were the children of your soul.
Yeah.
So that's the fault of most people, right? You know, everyone has dreams and visions, mm-hmm, but not everyone nurtures them like they're their own children.
Right. Yeah.
Because they get beat down and beat out of you. You can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. And then you just let them go to the wayside.
And your dreams can't become reality until you really consciously envision the dream.
Right.
Because a dream, you know, we think of a dream as like this kind of this vague painting of the future. We kind of, oh, yeah, I can see that. And you see other people, but you can't see yourself doing it. Once you actually see yourself doing it and making it practical, you got it down, it's data-driven, now you can actually make it come true.
Right. You know? Very specific.
Hardly ever do my real dreams in my head come true.
Yeah, you got to write them down.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
That's right.
Okay, so that was the huge four. Now we're going to hit you with the rapid fire round, baby. Okay, I'll go first and we'll go around. I'll go, then Biggie, then Mark. We'll go around the table. Okay, what is your spirit animal?
Oh, I'd probably say eagle.
Oh, nice.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, man. I love sugar.
Sugar of all types, pop, soda, yeah, pop, Red candy. Bull.
Red Bull's my, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're being a construction guy.
Oh, yeah, Red Bull's a must.
They make a sugar-free Red Bull, you
Red
know.
Red Bull's not no good. It's no good. Just drink the real one.
What is your favorite movie?
Oh, man, probably a sports movie, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, nice. Football.
Yep,
yes.
Football, yep.
What do you do in your spare time?
Man, I love the outdoors. I love to deer hunt. I hike, hang out with my boys pretty much. Just a little bit of outdoor stuff.
Excellent.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
I Believe I Can Fly. I'm not.
I believe I can fly.
Spread my wings and touch the sky.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all you got.
Nice.
All right. What's something you fear?
Oh, man. Not living up to my potential. It's probably about the only real fear in my mind that I have.
Oh, yeah. What's the saying? They say the worst, the vision of hell is meeting your person in your deathbed of who you really could have been. Yeah.
Right. Yes, that was in the book, Who Not How.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was in the book. Yeah, he said, like, you'll know you're in hell when you meet yourself and you meet the person that you could have been.
Yeah.
And you're not that person.
That's a big one to think about right there.
It's also in Ed Milet's book, Power of One.
Yeah.
He kind of words it a little bit differently, but he pretty much says that when he dies, he wants to see the guy that he was meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it be the mirror.
Yeah. Right?
Instead of this stranger.
Yeah.
That's why you got to go all out every single day, folks.
100%.
Yeah. If you won the Mega Billions lottery, what is William Barber buying?
Man, you guys know. Reynolds, man. Reynolds, baby.
Yes.
I just keep buying.
Put that money back to work.
Go right to work. I fear the word retirement. I don't. My family's always like, you're going to retire early. I'm like, I'm never going to retire. What would I do?
Right.
Like, real estate's it's what I wake up and think about. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just level up, right?
And you can go, balls to the wall, or you can just be like, chill.
Chill. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like running on a treadmill. You can run a 10 or you can walk. Like, it doesn't matter.
You never want to stop walking altogether, is what you're saying.
Did you say mega billion?
Billions,
I'd call Grant Cardone, man. I'd be like, Grant, let's play, man. Like, something. I don't know what we're going to do. But I'll do something for sure.
Yes.
Who is your favorite superhero?
Oh man, Iron Man. I don't know if I really like Iron Man for sure.
Yeah, old Tony Stark.
That's right.
Nice.
What is your favorite sports team?
Oh man, see that's a really hard one because I'm more of a. I think if I was gonna say his favorite sports team, it would probably be. Probably the Green Bay Packers, but currently I don't even like the Packers. They're just a team. I like Brett Favre. Brett Favre was my hero growing up in sports.
Yeah.
I
gotcha.
His jersey everywhere. So, but yeah.
So the answer is the Brett Favre Green Bay Packers.
There you go. Yeah. That's okay. It. There you go. That's right. That's right.
What is your greatest accomplishment?
Oh man, it'd just be being able to be the dad to my two boys. Not to sound. That's so inspiring to me. You know, it's the biggest accomplishment I can think of for sure.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how hard you work and grind, that's something that really adds perspective.
It does.
Right?
Absolutely, it does.
Yep, love that answer. All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. William Barber, the famous Alaska boy you all have heard about, right? The owner, founder of Blue Door Development Group, folks. You're going to see this guy doing huge things all around town, building, rehabbing, renovating, constructing new builds, and just really improving everything around that he touches.
That's right.
So thank you for that, Will Barber. Where and how can folks contact or follow you?
Yeah, so our website should be up and running here within the next month, I would say. And then from there, we'll have a Facebook page, and we'll get a little more of a social footprint going on.
Absolutely. Yes, we're not gonna let you hide anymore.
yep.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Will Barber. Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge podcast with Mark Gray, Justin Bigelow, and myself, Pete Peterson. Please remember to review, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules: work hard, never give up, and dream huge.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.